Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Good evening and welcome to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA. Jay here in Sunshine, State of Florida, joined by our executive producer, Pepe Farms, BP, and our military, security expert, D126. Good evening, Pepe. How are you?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Today is the anniversary of both the U.S. Postal System and the ratification of the 19th Amendment. Two things Sleepy Joe could not have been selected without, but at least his butt's been wiped.
Okay, that's a good one. BP, good evening, buddy. How are you doing?
Good evening, fellas. Good to hear from everybody. Hope everybody had a good week.
Glad we're still on this side of the dirt. Demon26, our military security expert. Good evening, sir.
Indeed, we are still on the correct side of the lawn, Jay. It's another sunshiny day.
Well, I got to tell you, it's hotter than blue balls here in Florida. Okay, so I'm experiencing some difficulties on my end, so Pepe is going to get the show rolling when I resolve the issue. Pepe, take it away.
Yes, good luck, Jay. So here we go. This has been making the rounds on social media lately. On Saturday, the CDC announced that PCR tests will no longer be available for emergency use to determine whether individuals have contracted COVID-19 and seem to tactically admit that the tests are unable to differentiate between COVID-19 and influenza viruses. Many of National Files readers noted that the development came less than 1 week after Bill Gates and George Soros announced their intention to buy a COVID-19 test manufacturer based in the United Kingdom. Coincidental or not? Well, If you read into it a little bit, while the CDC has withdrawn the February 2020 real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel, there's lots and lots of other FDA-authorized alternatives. What they're basically saying is the first one that they came out with at the very beginning is bad, but all the others are still okay. And there's really no way to tell who used what PCR primers, because what we're talking about basically is the priming sequence that's used in the PCR devices that provides the results that they then declare as a test. This Gates-Soros consortium bought a lateral flow testing company. Those are the tests that operate sort of like a pregnancy test. You know, those ones that show beer and tap water testing positive for COVID-19. So that's just them soaking up more taxpayer money as usual. What do you think there, Jay?
Oh, have we lost Jay for the moment?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess he's got his head down there. What about you, Demon? What do you think?
Why I try to fix this, please.
Go ahead, BP.
I totally agree with you. Anything involving those two mad men, there's nothing good to come out of it for the world citizens, normal people who live on this earth.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know what disturbs me the most about all this, guys, is here we are. We appear to be in the era of supervillains, and our supervillains are a geek who invented a computer in his garage and some creepy old guy that's been wandering around since World War II. Can we get a better quality of supervillain?
Well, we do have that one that rides a penis to space.
Yeah, it's closer. It's closer. He's like Vector from, help me out here with the Minions.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm still stuck on Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I know.
Spaceballs.
We just have really, really lousy caliber of supervillain here. All right, what do we got now, Pepe?
All right. In a unanimous decision made by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention exceeded its authority by temporarily halting evictions amid the pandemic. On Friday, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the lower court's decision that the CDC's eviction moratorium was unlawful. Circuit judges Alan Norris, Amal Thaper, and John Bush made the decision to reject the CDC's two-pronged argument, declaring that the CDC, quote, exceeded its existing statutory authority by issuing a nationwide eviction moratorium. My question is, what is the opposite of a slap lawsuit? You know, when the courts delay until criminal activity is over before they do anything? That's what this seems like.
What do you think,
Demon?
We got our wires crossed. Jay, you are the glue that holds this show together, my man.
I know.
Go ahead, BP.
Well, I would have to read up on this one. I haven't really heard too much about it.
But basically, when the pandemic started coming down, the CDC declared that no one was allowed to evict anybody anymore. And they set up this system where you could file with the CDC to say, I can't pay my rent. And then federal disaster emergency relief would be directed to the landlords. So now the Sixth Circuit Court is saying that all of that was illegal. I mean, we all knew that was illegal. This is no big surprise.
Well, the CDC has no authority whatsoever to declare anything or make law. That's so far out of their scope of operations. I can't believe that was ever allowed to be even entertained.
Yep, just ruling by fiat and an executive order.
Yeah, it's
so
just
true,
absolutely
so
ridiculous.
True.
Yep.
Well, next up here, what have we got? New York City-based investment banking giant Morgan Stanley is excluding straight white males from its college sophomore summer internship program, marking it another case of systemic anti-white racism in the age of the all-powerful global finance. Morgan Stanley provided a job description for its 2022 investment banking sophomore summer analyst program, in which the firm clearly states, Stanley prides itself on fostering an environment that promotes diverse talents and perspectives. One way we demonstrate our commitment to diversity is through the sophomore summer program. This program is an integral part of our diversity recruiting efforts, helping to attract Black, Hispanic, Native American, female, and or LGBTQXPY college sophomores. It's what? Just substitute any other race for white in that statement, for crying out loud. Pepe?
Yeah, well, at this point, it's not enough to hate bankers. We must all be actively anti-banker.
Seriously. What do you think, BP?
Yeah, it's a pretty shady look there. Definitely slanted and definitely part of the woke culture going on, you know,
well, it just
at this
burns.
Point. It just reeks of unfairness. I mean, I don't care what you're trying to do. It's just you're trying to do it now and you're trying to rush into it to make up for the past where you didn't hire any Blacks, no minorities, no LGBTQ. All you hired was white male people. So it's not their fault that you had that type of hiring system. You know, they shouldn't be punished. You know, that's what I think.
It's just,
they shouldn't be punished. I mean, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not like the white dudes who got jobs there were forced to take the job. They were looking for a job. And they
or
said,
actively
okay,
shoved minorities
sure.
aside. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
It chased my ass, BP. I think you and I are roughly around the same age. Didn't we work our whole lives to, like, get along and not worry about things like skin color and stuff like that? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's... my generation.
I mean, yeah, same here. In the 80s, it was just, it was a different time because technology was it, man. When you go from analog to digital, it's a big step.
Yeah.
It's a very big step. And
I'll tell you guys,
when
I first read the story, I was kind of shocked for about a minute, but then I wasn't surprised.
Right.
Yeah,
that was a good point that BP made. Basically, it's Morgan Stanley saying, yeah, we know we're racist. and this somehow is virtuous.
We've been racist in the past. I mean,
so now we're just going to be more racist in different ways, and that makes us good.
Exactly. Hey, does anybody remember the movie American Psycho? Kristen Glover? No, Kristen.
Oh,
Christian Bale.
Bale. Dude.
Yeah.
That's what it was like in the 80s, dude. That's who they hired. I mean, you saw very few women, you know, and they're all from Ivy League schools. So,
well, let's be honest about that 80s era of investment banking, though, BP. The whitest thing in the room was the pile of cocaine on the table.
Yeah, that too, dude. Oh, my gosh. Dead on.
Okay, I'm reading.
A lot of that going on, man. Luckily, I didn't run into it very much for me.
Yeah, I'm going to plead the fifth on that. So, anyway.
I plead the fifth. F-I-F.
Plead the fifth, drink a fifth, whatever. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Speaking
of which, in a newly leaked video, we have Hunter Biden, the oft-disappointing son of Joe Biden, who's recently become an artist, smoking a bowl of crack cocaine while arguing with his deceased brother's wife, with whom he had a relationship following his brother's death. The argument seemed to begin after Hunter expressed outrage that Haley would call him so soon after the publication of an article by New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd. Ostensibly an article from 2015 in which Dowd claimed that begged his father, Joe Biden, to run for president in the 2016 election moments before his death. In the video reportedly leaked from the infamous Hunter Biden laptop, it appears Hunter told Haley he was seeking treatment for his drug abuse when in reality he appears to be in a hotel room smoking crack. My question is, was that Parmesan cheese? And you can just see it. At the end of that video, you can see the wheels working in his mind after that long hit while his wife is waiting for him to answer the phone. He's thinking, life is so hard. I know. I'll do art.
You guys have seen the video, right? BP?
Yep.
I mean, gosh. that without a doubt is crack he's smoking. BP, have you seen the video?
Only the still photos of it. I haven't seen the full video.
Oh, yeah, there's an actual video. Trust me. I invite you to go watch it and then talk about it. <Another time. laughs>
It's crackish.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's about a minute-long video, and half of it is him just talking on a crack pipe, not answering his way.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, my issues are resolved, gentlemen, so I am back with you. We'll move on to the next one. Joe Biden pinched the nipple of Senator Steve Daines' niece on C-SPAN when she was a young child, according to her reported confirmation of the pinch, which occurred on January 3rd, 2015, at her uncle's swearing-in ceremony when she was 8 years old. You can see the vid, folks. I'm telling you, he does indeed pinch her nipple. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and it originally started, she just responded to a question on a video, did Joe Biden pinch you, and she said yes, but then she deleted the comment, and somebody asked why she deleted it, and she said, I have friends that would no longer be friends with me if they knew that. Not that she said it, but that he had pinched her. It goes on to say that she'd say something about it if she thought it would help. But honestly, I don't think at this point it would do anything other than make people angry.
We'll go figure. BP, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, I think you muted BP. I'll fill that gap in there real fast. Freaking, the guy's a pedophile. We've seen him touch children over and over and over and over again. And this man is sitting at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office of the White House of the United States of America. Are you serious right now? The guy is a verifiable from public video pedophile. What's going on in America?
Pepe, I want you to send BP a big, blown-up sticker that says unmute, please.
Need to grab a broomstick and bang on the window.
Yeah, get one for everybody. Go ahead, BP, your thoughts.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen BP. Please return him to the studio.
Okay.
Are you there?
Anybody? Yeah, I am here.
There you go.
For some reason, it wouldn't come off mute. Sorry. Oh, my
God. Go ahead with your thought.
I don't know. I really, I just get frustrated. That's all I can say. I just get frustrated.
Well, it's disgusting, for one. And yeah, as Dean was alluding to, this is the man running the damn country. Well, actually, he's not running the country, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess
get
he was
frustrated
having...
because it happens over and over, and people don't really seem to care that it happens. I mean, I'm like, that's disgusting. I mean... like when he rubs the shoulders of women. I mean, I'm like, I would never do that.
I actually,
you know, mayor or not.
I actually remember when this happened. You guys probably too, but you know, now that it's just now resurfacing, it should have resurfaced during the election, if you ask me. But what do I know? All right, let's hit this next one. Arizona Senator Michelle Ujinti-Rita, I believe is how it's pronounced, who is now running for the Arizona Secretary of State and recently killed election integrity legislation to help prevent accusation of fraud in future races, was booed off the stage during the speech at the Turning Point USA Chapter Leadership Summit held today in Phoenix, Arizona. Rita begged the crowd multiple times to allow her to give her speech. It was met by a chorus of boos throughout. Eventually she admitted defeat and angrily stopped off the stage after telling voters, "I will win my primary." National Files spoke to a source who attended the event and understands that she was escorted from the venue by the Phoenix Police Department. And I have seen the video. Let it rip, Pepper.
And first, a new country that's
she's going to win anything.
Well, I don't know. She shut down the election reform, and she stated categorically she was going to win the primary. Does she know something we don't?
Well, who knows, VP? What do you think?
This is our running gag.
Mute attacks again.
You remember, Pepe, I used to be horrible about the unmute button, but go ahead and jump in there, Demon, so we can get him down.
I shall. Well, this goes back to what I talk about a lot on the show with the people at the local level. this is a perfect example of it. She's screaming, "We the people, we the people, we the people," as we the people reject her for being a rhino bitch. I think it's perfect. It is absolutely perfect justice. There's no way around it.
I'm guessing she's a Republican and she was at the turning point thing. Am I right in that, guys?
That's correct.
Correct. TPUSA is a huge conservative rally, and she just got her backside handed to her.
Right, right.
Even better, after she got booed off stage, she tried to have an independent journalist arrested by the police for quote-unquote harassment, who was asking her questions about why she did what she did.
Interesting. BP, are you back with us?
Yes, I am, finally.
Okay. Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say, I think her days are numbered in office. Come the next cycle, I think the tidal wave will sweep her out of office.
Well, you know, one can only hope. All right, we're going to hit the headlines from Pepe Farms. Pepe, go for it.
All right, well, in new news, apparently your high-level computer is now illegal. Dell can't ship a majority of Alienware gaming PCs to California, Colorado, and other states due to new power consumption regulations. Although there's no national standards for computers, the DOE, Department of Energy, did initiate a rulemaking, issuing a request for information in 2012 and a proposed determination of coverage in 2014. So California, Vermont, Washington, and Hawaii, you are now no longer allowed to buy the computer you want. They're going to tell you what you can have.
Now, Pepe, when did this come down?
Well, apparently, I don't know if Dell is implementing this on a voluntary basis, but the rules for California went into effect July 1st, 2021. So maybe they just triggered it everywhere because they had to do it for California.
Wow. And to think they used to say everything that starts in California takes to the nation. Let's hope not. Go ahead, BP.
Oh, yeah.
Well, fellas, it looks like the USA and Germany are going to okay the completion of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that connects Russia and Germany over the objections of the other European countries. The 55 billion cubic meters gas pipeline that is 764 miles from Russia to Germany will double the capacity of gas between Russia and Germany. They will totally exclude other parts of Europe from their pipeline, causing a major and dangerous shift in economies. The Ukraine is one of the countries shut out of the new pipeline, even though they desperately need some type of natural energy for their country. The issue I have with this is really bad for us. It puts us in a bad position internationally. And domestically, we have given away everything Trump built up in terms of being energy independent. The XL pipeline has been out of service for over a year and almost a year. So we, as a people, see basically what's going on here. And it doesn't look good. Feel really sorry for the people of Europe, especially Germany, because if Russia gets mad in the middle of the winter and they cut off the gas, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and
you're not kidding there.
Yeah, let's have a discussion about this from a military side and then from the other side. I'm not surprised that they want to cut out Ukraine because Russia wants Ukraine, demon. But why in the world would the administration allowed that and lifted sanctions, I believe, if I'm correct, and shut down the USXL. I mean, go ahead, whoever wants to.
Well, I'll jump in on that one, Jay. It's not only the XL pipeline, but also Line 5 here in Michigan, which crosses the Straits and supplies Canada up between the lower and upper peninsula of Michigan and goes into Sault Ste. Marie and the Sioux Locks up there where a lot of our shipping comes through. This is a deliberate throttling of our energy resources. It is part of the entire global reset thing, Agenda 2020 or whatever they called it or whatever they're calling it now. And the purpose is to bring all of our populations, meaning Western European culture, down to the same level as the rest of the world, with, of course, the exception of the elites, who will all have, you know, what they need. It is a catastrophe. It is global communism. You don't even really need to say global communism. The goal of communism is global communism. They want all of our economies, all of our cultures, not brought up, brought down to the same level. They want everybody in the same kind of poverty so that they can control everything. That's their goal.
Yeah. And Pepe, they've been trying to sneak in the socialism, communism, it's the same thing, for decades in one form or another.
Oh yeah, certainly. With great effect especially after the fall of the Soviet Union, because all those busy communists didn't have anywhere to live anymore, so they immediately gravitated towards all the environmental movements and other ways they could infiltrate institutions in the United States.
That's correct.
Well, you know, something I saw today, which I think is funny, not in a ha-ha way, but in a WTF way, the party that wants to control misinformation on the internet, party that believes that men can have babies.
Yep.
So
I just have nothing to say about that.
I didn't think you would have a lot on it. Demon, hit your headline, buddy.
I call this one Shooty Guy versus Brick. Suspected Texas gunman beaten to death with brick after opening fire at a party. A gunman who killed one person and shot at least two others following an argument at a party in Fort Worth, Texas, was beaten to death with a brick, authorities said Monday. The violence began just after 1 a.m. in Fort Worth, Texas, when the partygoer became upset and left. That same man, who was not identified, later came back with someone else, got into an argument with multiple people. During the altercation, he shot one person. Police do not know what the argument was about, but after the shooting, the attendees at the gathering began chasing the gunman, who opened fire and wounded a couple other people. At least one of the people in pursuit picked up a concrete landscaping brick and started throwing them, police said. The gunman who killed one person and opened fire at the gathering in Fort Worth was beaten to death with a brick. At some point during the foot chase, the shooter either fell or was taken down to the ground and wounded two more victims in the process with his firearm. The other two shooting victims sustained non-life-threatening injuries, but authorities said a third person was injured but did not provide information. The shooter was hit multiple times with at least one brick and died at the scene, police said. That sounds like one hell of a party, guys.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I lived in Dallas for a few years, and you don't fuck around so much in Fort Worth, Pepe.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a good time.
Demon, I'm actually surprised he wasn't shot. I mean,
I'm a little surprised, too, but I like the brick approach. I mean, that is just so apropos.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we can do this.
BP, I might have to get me a load of bricks.
Yeah, it's pretty personal. I mean, a brick to the face.
Exactly.
That's real intense.
All right,
guys. They're going to legislate high-capacity bricks next, so watch out.
Don't Stop it. Stop it. Don't give him any ideas, please. All right, guys, on the other side, facts for 2-6 and big things with Penny Farms. Grab you some Georgia Sweet Tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back. Here comes facts with D&2 Sex.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a little something for you tonight that could be mildly upsetting. I don't want to frighten anyone, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to go and get flour, sugar, salt, vinegar, cooking oil, dried beans, anything you can store that's dry and that will keep about 3 months worth of food, because I've been very closely watching shipping, rail, and the processing and hubs for all of our economy. And we saw this last year with the toilet paper shortage, the meat shortages, and a few other things. It very much looks like we've got a planned, deliberate shorting of the American supply chains coming up in the next couple of months here, probably hit around September or October. It'll resolve itself. It will work itself out. There are things in play that are going to take care of some of that stuff, but have enough food to feed your family for about 3 months. And as I was researching that, I stumbled across a video on Gab of a colonel from the MI community, retired now, who basically confirmed everything that I just said to you. Pepe, if you could cue that up for me. This is about 6 minutes.
All right. Hello, everyone. Today is the 23rd of July, 2021, and I thought I'd better put this up. I have a really good source that has contact with both active and retired military Of course, I'm no longer with the military, but I'm very aware of how the military operates, obviously. And as I've been telling you for a long time, things are getting really nasty. We see what's happened with the supply chains, and I mentioned this yesterday, the ships offshore, the containers sitting and not being able to get transported or getting materials transferred to them, the rail lines being basically slowed down, even stopped. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, they're turning off the economy. And I think anybody knows that. I went to get gas this morning in Salt Lake City at a Costco. It's now $4 a gallon for premium, which is what I use in my car because I'm trying to extend its life. But at any rate, the point is that the shelves are getting bare. Energy is getting more scarce. We have all of these different things happening with what apparently are attacks on the grid. Hello, Marshall, how you doing? Attacks on the grid, cyber attacks, warnings from the elites that there are going to be all of these different cyber pandemics, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, as I've said, they're attacking us on multiple fronts, in depth, and with full spectrum dominance. So I've been watching as people have been warning about the problem with the shutdowns and the supply, especially food and basic necessities. Well, I received a bit of information yesterday and further this morning that on certain military bases, and I imagine this is throughout the entire military, and I don't know about the enlisted ranks, okay, but apparently amongst the officers, especially the higher up officers, 04, 05, etc., they're being told to get their houses in order with what's coming. Now, what they're saying is that they need to go out and get food, water, and supplies now. Now, you'd think that being on military installations, they would have access because the military has to continue taking care of their, hi Mrs. Cat, have to take care of their people. But that may not necessarily mean the families, especially in a bad situation. But whatever's going on, whatever it is, with the movement of materials, military materials, I've talked about seeing some U.S. military tactical vehicles being stockpiled in places where they normally aren't. And a lot of people were saying, oh, this is because, this is when they're doing their summer training. I know what happens in summer training, and these are not for summer training. Okay, that's not what's happening. They're repositioning vehicles. Something's getting ready to go down, I guess. And with this situation, with them telling the military officers to get their houses in order and to get supplies, food, water, etc., for themselves and their families is critical. So that's inside information. No, I'm not going to give you the source. I think if you're smart enough, and I think most of you are, despite the trolls out there, that if you're watching any of this going on, you can see it anyway. You don't need me to tell you this, but the additional information that inside military folks are saying, get ready, you got to get yourself supplied because this is going to go south real quick. I don't know why. It could be a situation with China. It could be that Biden's invited the UN in. We're seeing what apparently are some UN identifications here and there. I don't know that for sure. I don't have direct information on that, but this is direct information that inside the military, amongst the upper officer ranks at any rate, whether it's official or not, I doubt it's official. I don't think this is coming down from SecDef or from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs or anybody like that. This is just people in the know in the military that are warning their buddies, their officer friends, you better get ready because this thing's going south right now. Get everything you need now. Don't wait. So there are military families right now, at least in the upper officer ranks, that are hitting the Costcos, the Walmarts, the Sam's Clubs, etc., trying to get their stuff together. We see the shortages in the UK right now. They're talking about it right now. The entire lockdown that's going on there, the unjustified things that are happening over all of this. As I said, and this video, I shouldn't even be putting it up this way because it'll probably be flagged, right? But this is the quickest way to reach everybody. Record this thing down now. This is the warning. I've been talking about it for a long time. Get yourselves ready as best you can, okay? All right, I'm going to go. They're not on our side. Nobody in the government's on our side. Nobody in the corporations. We've been marked for elimination. It's pretty obvious. See y'all later.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And everything he said, I can confirm through research that I've been doing with a group that I work with. It's frightening, but we can ride this out. Get yourselves prepared. Make sure you have dry goods. Make sure you have some canned goods. You don't need to panic and buy everything. Figure out what you need for about 3 to 4 months, because winter is coming and you don't want to be caught without any food. You might want to get yourself a little propane burner grill or stove, and to get some gas canisters for that as well. This is the United States of America today. Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
It's funny you give this story. It's kind of ironic because I went today to our local Walmart, which I hate shopping at for obvious reasons, but my time's been limited the last few weeks. But I obviously noticed a lot of, you know, when you get into produce, you know how big their produce is. There was
yep.
a lot of bins empty. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
what the hell is going on?
Yeah. The ground didn't just stop growing stuff. We're being throttled. It's being stopped at the distribution and processing centers.
Yeah. And, Tebe, I also noticed it wasn't just produce, but canned goods.
Interesting. Yeah, well, as we pointed out before, there's all sorts of trucker shortages, and there have been labor shortages in, you know, all levels of the supply chain. So like we saw with lumber, it just takes a little bit of a upset in the planning, and you have a problem for years to come.
Wasn't the lumber due to all the boarded up crap? I mean, I think I read that somewhere where they were boarding
no.
up all the buildings.
No,
the way the sawmills work, there is no shortage of trees. There's a shortage of processing capability. It's sort of like the restricted number of refineries. And because of the economic downturn, because of COVID, the projection for how much lumber was going to be required turned out to be less than half of what the demand was. And you can't just spin these lumber processing plants up. And the ones they did try to spin up, they had trouble getting people to work at them.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Hey, BP, in your neck of the woods, are you seeing, like, shelves being less filled?
Yes. In a couple stores. But here, I mean, where we're located is, you know, it's in a good location because we're on two major highways, one going west and one going north and south. So, you know, but yeah, I'm a demon. I've been getting prepared since the election. So,
right.
I got a deep freezer. I got a couple extra shells, and I got to get some more this weekend. So,
well, I'll tell you something else, guys. Go ahead.
I want to throw this other thing in here. Do yourselves a favor, guys, and get salt as well, because should we lose electricity for some reason, all of a sudden that deep freezer doesn't work so well, you can salt meat It's 3 to 4% salt per pound of meat.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you can salt it and hang it. That's how they used to do it in the olden days.
Yep.
And it's not the greatest thing in the world to eat, but you will have food. Make sure you get some bulk salt.
It may not be the greatest thing in the world to eat, but you're not going to starve to death. So.
Correct.
But again, on the point that you're talking about on your in your story there, Devin, I belong to several restaurant manager groups, and there's alcohol shortages in a lot of states. The managers are saying, we're ordering, it's not coming.
Yeah, we've been seeing that as well.
That's just crazy.
Yep, same here.
You know,
especially like hard liquor. I mean, it's
That's what they were talking
real
about.
Real hard.
Pepe, you have some breaking news?
Oh, yes, and good news, former Senator Barbara Boxer was just assaulted and robbed in Oakland. Unfortunately, she was only pushed in the back, and the assailant pushed her in the back, stole her cell phone, and then jumped in a waiting car. She was thankfully not seriously injured. So, a little bit of bad news there.
Well, you know, thankfully she wasn't. Now, she's not a senator anymore, correct?
Right, former senator.
Yeah, wasn't going to get reelected, so she bailed out, huh?
Could well be.
You know, here's a question, though. Let's put on our tinfoil hats real fast, though. What could you get from Senator Barbara Boxer's cell phone?
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah.
Mm. Hopefully no Epstein tapes.
No, but Dan, I'm sure there's some juicy tidbits in there.
I would imagine there are, Jay. I would imagine there are.
All right. Great job, Dan. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's do a big thing with Pepe Farm. Pepe.
All right. Here we go. As the Delta variant lockdown looms, it's time for another round of germ theory, viruses, and the big lie tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers. Arguing with an engineer is a lot like wrestling in the mud with a pig. After a few hours, you realize the pig likes it. So, while speaking with a fellow engineer recently, our conversation eventually devolved into deconstructing the COVID pandemic. My compatriot has been self-isolating from the crazy side of the internet and was as surprised as I initially was to learn there is a coherent argument against the popular conception of viral and germ theories of disease. The big lie of the medical industrial complex must be fought at every turn. As we know, we are all directed by the regime to believe we are surrounded by nasty little bugs that can cause our deaths at a moment's notice. We are told that most people, quote, trust the science, and so somehow it follows that all medical personnel and all medical devices are by default to be trusted, and that all dogmatic medical information is unassailable. But what does the data show? Is there a novel virus, aka SARS-2, that is causing increasing deaths around the world? Not according to the latest CDC numbers, as revealed by a Johns Hopkins study, which found that COVID-19 had no material effect on the rate of death of any particular demographic, and it hasn't increased the total number of deaths overall. Even with all of their reclassification, 40-cycle intubation murder by morphine, and suicide by isolation, they couldn't create a significant spike in deaths. Offset toxic male workplace deaths and traffic accidents they did. So, there was no massive surge in deaths, but there must be a virus, the mantra goes. What about polio? What about TB? As I've intoned before, the entire premise of germ theory and its follow-on viral theory is based on opinion, not science. Even the progenitors of germ theory could not prove their case, and today we know for certainty that microorganisms do not cause disease. Let us take the case of TB, a famously transmissible and often fatal bacterial infection. There is a vaccine for TB, and cases of TB have historically decreased in line with all other diseases as we gained understanding of the importance of hygiene and nutrition. But just like the great COVID switcheroo, it is now known that fundamentally everybody has a TB infection, just not TB, air quotes, disease. Some other condition must occur for the, quote, disease to develop. TB pandemics are not caused by the TB bacteria itself. They are caused by other external factors that make a normally benign bug able to overcome the body's normal defenses. Pesticides, bio and chemical weapons exposure, malnutrition, or even traumatic infection are all well known to cause immune deficiency, but you can't sell a TB jab to everybody if disease is easily avoidable. So germ theory doesn't work for germs. Can it still be true for viruses? Sure, anything is possible. But given the founding germ theory is suspect, viral theory requires its own validation, and it just doesn't exist. There has never been a study proving any viral communicability. There has never been an isolated purified viral sample. There has never been a sequenced viral genome, and there has never been a photo or a radiograph of a virus. One by one, are viruses infectious? Stick a swab up the nose of a, quote, infected subject, then stick the swab up the nose of a, quote, uninfected subject, and there is no transmission. Multiple studies have tried it, and all failed. Infection rates were statistically identical to the control groups. Second, but they have viruses in the lab, right? No. What they call virus isolate is juiced and size-filtered dead cellular debris. No isolation occurs at all. From this soup of dead cell debris, they sample genetic material, not knowing which debris comes from what components of the isolate. Could be monkey kidneys, could be human cancer cells. Nobody knows. Third, but they have virus DNA, right? No. All viral genomes are, quote, in silico, meaning in a computer or on paper, and they only exist as theoretical possibilities, generated from the random genetic fragments in the soup they called an isolate. And finally, but what about all those pictures of viruses? All the images of viruses you have ever seen are either artist renderings or microelectrographs of something else. For example, that famous coronavirus picture is actually a picture of a dying cell exploding due to its cell wall breaking down. The claim is that that is evidence of a virus, but it is in fact just a bog-standard cell death. It is almost terrifying to know that medical science is the sham it appears to be. But our, quote, there's a pill for everything culture requires a constant source of new biochemical agents to justify its own existence. Complete absolution of responsibility for your own well-being can be yours at your local drugstore, you know. Just ask your doctor. But still, I think it is much more terrifying that the deadly 1976 swine flu vaccine architect, Dr. Fauci, is being given yet another chance to try his concoctions on us, but this time not in the name of fighting a disease, but as a tool of the Great Reset against humanity itself.
Well, you know, Pepe, first, Fauci's a fraud, and I don't always agree with Rand Paul, but I think today or yesterday he did a referral to the DOJ for a criminal thing. And, you know, the story you guys did at the top where this rapid test can't tell the difference between COVID or the influenza, it's all fucking bullshit.
Yep, it's very much black magic. Just don't look for the guy behind the curtain.
I would rather trust that magic. You guys remember the Magic 8 Ball?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would rather trust that Fauci. BP?
Yeah, I'm with you. Take my turn. Shake it up, shake it up, shake it up. Boom.
Yep. Demon, you're
about. Infected with COVID.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, what baffles me is that even though the story changes hourly, it hasn't been changing daily or weekly. It's been changing hourly, this story. The public is still buying it. I can't believe that the public is this completely gullible? It's just blowing my mind.
Well, again, it's more terrifying to think that there's, you know, no scientific basis behind all the stuff that they're telling you. That's way more terrifying to many people.
Yeah,
in fact, exactly. And I know you guys don't do Facebook, but all these fools that have that picture frame, I got vaccinated, well, they're now unfriended. You know, I swear to God. Ah, man, I just don't know, guys. All right, great job, Pepe. Final thoughts, Pepe.
Well, I just want to give a shout-out to that girl I met last night with the glass eye. I mean, she didn't tell me that or anything. It just kind of came out in the conversation. Good night, everybody.
BP, final thoughts.
As we enter week one of the Olympics, you know, I've been pretty intrigued, but unfortunately, I've been the only one watching the Olympics based on the ratings.
Hey, I'm telling you what. I was never so happy for a team to lose than the women's soccer team. I'm telling you, that was gold. They should have got gold for losing. I'm just saying.
So Jay, real quick, or I guess BP, tell me real quick, which is falling faster, the ratings or the players on the field?
Ooh. I hear you.
With that said, Demon, final thoughts.
Well, I'll tell you, my wife was sitting on the couch and she goes, "Oh my God, the women's soccer team lost." I started laughing. She said, "Oh my God, the men's basketball team lost to France." I almost fell out of my chair laughing. We lost a basketball game to France.
To France, yeah. Karma is a real thing. If you don't think so, I'm telling you. All right, guys, great job. Thanks to my co-hosts, Happy Horror, BB, and Demon26. Awesome stuff. Pepe, we'll see you right next week. Get us out of here.